All right, there we go. Okay, so pray with me for a moment and we will get started for today. Heavenly Father, we want to just say thank you. We want to thank you for life. We want to thank you for breath. We want to thank you for the air that we breathe and the experience that we have in this paradigm, in this construct at such a time as this. And as we just spend some time today going through scriptures and seeking truth and seeking the revelation of truth that comes from your Spirit, we just ask that you would quicken us, quicken everyone that is here and everyone that hears these words over the live stream and over in the days ahead. Let these words resonate inside of all of our hearts and take us as we go forward from glory to glory and strength to strength and truth to truth. Father, we ask that you would quicken us in the way and enable us with the power and the will to act. And may we act on what you put in front of us to do as you are raising up your people, those that are yours, as the elite are replaced by the elect. Father, we just ask that you would raise up your elect at this time to take their rightful place, their rightful role, as part of what you are doing upon the earth at such a time as this. We ask that you bless this word and this time together, in Jesus' name. All right, okay, we're going to work to do a conclusion on this series. So today, this is part five. So part one, two, three, four, we're going to do a little bit of a recap. How to change your life. So that was how to change your life, part one, two, three, and four. So we started off in part one, recognizing and realizing that when it came to life and to your life and to your experience, if you haven't heard these ones, you got to go back through to catch the whole series. But the plans that God has for you, they are within you. And they're not outside of you. So when people go and chase all these things externally and try, and other people say, hey, this is going to make you happy. Hey, that's going to make you happy. The problem is none of that is outside of you. You've been uniquely and wonderfully made. And so the plans that God has for you are within you. So you have to go within. The kingdom is within, Luke 17:20-21. The kingdom is within you. So you're going to find the plans that God has for you within you. So the first thing about how to change your life, where are you looking for this life change? This life change doesn't come from outside of you, it comes from inside of you. It starts inside and then manifests without, not outside within. So the first part was to understand where the plans are and where you find those plans. The next one was, part two, was also understanding that before you set out, you do need to prepare yourself, because we spoke about life being a journey, knowing yourself. And so you have to be able to then prepare yourself for that journey. And so some things that we discussed in that part was dropping the weights, the anchors, the things that weigh you down. If you're going to begin a long journey, you don't want to carry things that do not serve you in that journey. So everything that serves you in that journey will be with you. A long time ago, I remember I helped support for an Ironman triathlon tent. And the guys that were going through there, they had these tiny little bottles that weighed X number of grams and these tiny little things. Why? Because they were very mindful of how much weight they were carrying on their body for such a grueling experience. Everything that was with them served them down to the gram. So if you are doing a journey, you don't carry things that are not serving you. So dropping the weights, assessing your traveling companions, you want to make sure that you're with people. How can two walk together, lest they be agreed? Amos 3:3. So making sure that those that are with you, because if you're unequally yoked, you'll go in circles. Preparing yourself mentally, physically, spiritually for that journey, and then committing to that journey. What part of life is to commit? When you commit and you make a decision within yourself, then you're able to then carry out an action that. As long as we are wish-washy about things and letting things just sort of, life doesn't just happen. We make decisions, and along the lines of the decisions we make, then we see the manifestations. So the plans are within, preparing yourself before you start that journey. Then starting your journey was part three. So you've got to, at some point, take action. And the actions that you take are going to be the realest manifestation of what you truly believe. So in part three, we discussed to start your journey. And so one of the first steps was writing it down, making that decision your own. Now, in that whole piece of writing it down, you need to then set that intention. So you need to not just say, oh, I would like this. Okay, you would like this, but how is that going to happen? There's going to be a set of, well, when are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? What's the next step that you're going to do it? What happens if you have a block and an obstacle along the way? What will you now do? So that is part of writing that vision, making it plain, bringing that vision into alignment with the truth. Then other people can also know, can they align with that vision? Do they want to support in that vision? Do they want to go with you? We talked about marriage and partnerships. How can somebody join you in the journey if you don't know where you're going? Yeah. They don't know where they're going. So then nobody knows where they're going, and then they're looking for somebody else that knows where they're going, and then pretty soon you end up in a big muddled soup and a bunch of people swiping right looking for somebody who knows where they're going, right? Okay, so you got a bunch of people looking for somebody else that knows where they're going. No one knows where they're going, and they're just trying to make it look like they know where they're going. How? Through, here's my beautiful this and my fancy that, and makes it look like I know where I'm going, but I really have no idea where I'm going, and I'm looking for somebody else that knows where they're going. Write the vision, make it plain, take a look at it, refine it, clean it up, and then after you've done that, take action. Take action. What kind of action? Action in line with the plan. Action in line with the change. And knowing your destination, where is it that you are going to go to? We talked to about how you create your future not from your past. You create your future from your future. So your future self, your present self now aligns with your future self and that destination you're going to, not where you've been. Too many people are creating their future from their past because they're holding on to their past, so they recreate their past. So they keep saying, oh, this failed in the past, that failed in the past, therefore I'm going to hold on to that, and then what do you end up doing? You keep on recreating your past, i.e. nothing changes. Life stays in a loop, and you just keep going through the same circle, same pattern, same mistakes, over and over and over and again. I had a very close friend of mine, a pastor, God bless his soul, who back in the day, he said, if you fail to learn the lessons from your past, you are destined to repeat them. So that is your destiny if you fail to learn. So if you're going to have a future and you know what your future is and you know where you're going, create from your future self, let your present self align with your future self and resonate on that level. Then you will continue to move and everything that is in your life and in your journey is going to align with that future self and not that past set of experiences. Because the children of light go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and we discussed this one too in part four, resistance to resistance. So part four was also, while you're on your journey, don't stop. So in part four, we discussed how you don't stop. We go from glory to glory, strength to strength, new level, new devil. That is going to be part and parcel of the journey when you do anything of any substance and any significance. The easy path, it is the weak man that chooses the easy path. Why? Because you have no resistance. You have no resistance, you don't get stronger. You don't get stronger, you get weaker. So we discussed for adjusting for the terrain. We discussed how to then continue to go forward, and we referenced that story from Tara, the story of the tortoise and the hare, which was the premise of that, the conclusion of that one is persistence beats talent every time. So if you persist in the way, you're going to have far more success than being the most talented person. Now, talent and persistence is tremendous. That's dynamite. But if you got to do nothing else, you persist. You keep going. Okay, so that is the recap. So today, and for the conclusion of this series, of part five, how to change your life. Part five is, ready for it? Recognizing when you've changed your life. This is so now when you've actually got to that destination, recognizing that you're there. So here's the first point in today's one. Have a point of godly contentment. Know what your target is. And recognize too, see, one thing around the world that we are surrounded by, we're surrounded by a world that just goes. Go, 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 right? Anything that grows uncontrollably, there's one thing in nature that grows uncontrollably. You know what that is? It's a cancer. Cancer is something that grows uncontrollably. When you go forward in your journey, grow on purpose. There's got to be a balance in this. And part of this is also why you write this down in the early stages, so that later on in life, when you look at it, you can also see when certain things have changed, and you can recognize that in the journey. And you can now structure balance in your life and in your world. Because what happens too is many, many times we can end up, especially when you start having tremendous successes and things going, is that those can start consuming your life and your world, and then other things get lost on the wayside. So, you know, people talk about balance, work-life balance, family, learning. Well, whoever taught anybody about balance with tech? You know, tech balance, technology. Like, technology's taken over everybody's life and their world. How many people have a glitch? If they have 60 seconds of downtime, what do? They reach for a phone. Right? They pick that up. Now, what happens when you do that? Well, all of this, now, do you really need to check with somebody? Do you really have to check an email, respond to anything, make a call? But it's why? Because it's there. It's an instant place to have an inlet. But what happens? What would happen if God's trying to speak to you in that moment, but your mind is going to that external thing and you're being distracted from, so you've got all this time that's now all of a sudden opened up because you've got everything together, and but you still can't get your attention because there's all these things coming at you because we've been glitched into it, right? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. but they that will be rich fall into many into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man, observe certain aspects in this process. Then you also then know at that point and at that stage that there's got to be balance in everything else. Now, it doesn't mean that you maybe don't keep going, but you have a point to reassess. And you can then make the next set of changes in your life on purpose. So it's not that life, it's not that once you get on this thing, then it's just, no, you stop and you say, okay, all right, we've reached that destination. Now, do we want to continue with that trajectory, or do we want to modify? And then you can also make that decision with those that are in your window, in your circle, in your journey as well. Because as life changes too, when you're single, it's different. You know, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with others. So when you're by yourself, you can go very quick. You're up and gone. But when you're with others, it takes a little bit more time, but you will have a much longer, much further journey. But in both cases, there's a way to do things. You can make an assessment along the way of, all right, now that we're here, now what? Or do you just continue to grow like a cancer? See, this is where many of the billionaires of our world would have done well to stop along the way and say, okay, I've achieved so much now, if they weren't the ones that have any godliness left in them. A lot of them are godless. But for the ones that have any connection with Source at all, they would be the ones to stop and say, okay, I've come here. How many steak dinners can I possibly eat between now and the time that I pass from this world? So what is my contribution? What can I do? How can I make a change? If you don't do that, you just keep going in that trajectory, and there's never a shutoff, right? So recognize a point of godly contentment. So this is part of recognizing when your life has changed. So the second one in this same thought process is celebrating your success. Let's go to Luke 15. Luke 15. And this is a familiar passage. The passage of the prodigal sons. Luke 15, verse 17. And now, if you think back through the series we've been going through, you'll see every part of this that we've been teaching will be in this story, from part 1 through 5. Okay, verse 17. And when he came to himself, where is it? Inside, not outside. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise," here's a plan, "and go to my father, and will say unto Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose, there's action, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, here he is actioning the plan, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe." Now, here we go, celebration. But the father said to his servant, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. There we go. Okay, so we got all of it right there in that one story, one passage. Did he change his life? Absolutely he changed his life. Because if he didn't action this entire sequence here, he would have lived and died in the pig pen of this world. So for all of us too, everything is right there even in that story. This is a pattern of change. Now, is everything contingent on him? No. There's a reaction that happens and he anticipates that takes place. And this is where too, he's arrived at his destination. His life is now changed. Celebrate that success. When your life has changed, we should be willing to give ourselves a chance to recognize and celebrate those things that are along the way with others that care about that as well for us. Because otherwise, too, we just continue to go forward. And our life was not meant to be just a series of work and struggle and the rest of it. It was actually meant to be a beautiful balance of we have mourning in there and celebration. We have the entire spectrum of the human experience as part of what we experience while we're here in this journey. But allow yourself to celebrate your successes when your life has changed. The third one for today is to solidify the change. And this is now something I want. Remember new patterns versus the old patterns. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 11 says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." Okay, and it's kind of definitely a gross one, but it gets the point across, right? As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. So here's one thing too. When your life has changed and you recognize that you've changed, also recognize the old patterns that were what the change was that you got out of in the first place. And this is something too that a lot of times, especially when people haven't dropped those weights entirely or they've held on to certain things from their past, yes, you can have life changes, but if you don't recognize what the snares are in yourself and in your own journey, you may not solidify that change and you may end up going back into the old things at a different place. So this is where, back to the uniqueness of your life and your experience, know what the snares are for you. So we are accumulative of many of the decisions and the processes we make along the way. So we make choices, then we reap what we've sown in those choices, and then we continue to build that up as life. So when you've got a pattern that is good and you build on that versus a pattern that is unhealthy and it destroys you. So recognizing when you've recognized something's wrong and you made that adjustment, see what that was. And that's many times going to be, though, specific to you as compared to somebody else. And this is one place where I've seen many, many, many times religion has come from here, in that you'll have somebody that will be in a position of leadership and they will have had a struggle in themselves. But then because that struggle in themselves, and they saw the vice that was for themselves, they, when they came out of that, now superimposed that on everybody else and made that now, because that was what they came through, now everybody has. I'll give you an example. So, a pastor friend of mine, he had a big issue with alcohol, right? So when he came through his experience of that, now because he no longer drank, every member of his congregation should never drink.
I see.
Right? Okay. Now, that was his issue, his problem, his thing, where if he was left alone with the liquor cabinet, he would have a hard time the whole night. But there's a lot of other people, that's not their problem. That's not their issue. That's his issue. Religion is making everybody else follow a pattern that is a control construct and not necessarily for their life and their relationship with the Most High. There's a huge difference between the two. Don't impose your thing on other people. Leave room for the Holy Spirit to work with each person. If people are open for truth, whatever they need to know is what they will know. There's certain things that are quite evident to everybody, yes, but leave room for the Holy Spirit. Observe your pattern in your own life. Be honest with yourself. This is the thing. Most people won't be honest with themselves. So if they won't be honest with themselves, how are they going to be honest with other people? Most people will not be honest with themselves and say, yes, I got an issue with this. Yes, I have a problem with this. Yes, this is my snare. And because they won't be honest with that, they can't get to even this place. For the ones that have crossed over that, realize still that was your issue, not somebody else's issue. That was your problem, not somebody else's problem. There's other people that didn't have to go through that same road you had to go through. So let them have their journey and don't impose your thing on them, because you know how much it didn't serve you in the first place. Why are you going to make it theirs? Right? Okay. So solidify the change, new patterns versus the old. Recognize the old snares. Here's another thing too, for yourself. If you know for yourself that certain things are your challenge, your issue, then make the adjustment ahead of time. Back to having a plan. Make the adjustment ahead of time so that when you get into that situation, you now cut off certain things so that you limit the chance for yourself to go there.
Yeah.
Right? So if you know there's just certain patterns you want to be out of, just eliminate that. So if you've got an issue, if it's something, say, through a screen, just unplug it. So then when you come back, the screen's unplugged. You've got to be more conscious about it if you're going to. So just do a couple things, whatever works for you. But solidify those changes. And why do you want to solidify those changes? Because you want to continue forward going from strength to strength. You don't want to be that dog returning to his vomit. You know, you don't want to go back into, because why? Because also too, we don't want to repeat those same patterns. We want to continue to go forward and grow. Right? Okay, so solidifying that change is doing the specifics necessary for yourself in making sure for yourself that you can continue on in healthy, good ways and leave behind the things that did not serve you. So when you start to recognize for yourself that just you make these shifts and then you keep them, that's going to be... then once you get to a certain stage, those things just become automatic, and then you do the next thing, right? So how many of you have you've heard that there's that 80-20 rule? You get 80% of your results from the first 20% of your effort. Then you get the balance 20% of your results from 80% of your effort, right? It's very, very true.
Yeah,
so in that regard, a lot of the time when you start making at least those first changes, you will, by just making those initial changes, you will keep a lot of those gains. And you can be very, very encouraged in those. But just to keep those things are going to be a massive difference in your experience for the rest of your time. But you won't keep those changes if we go back into the same patterns from before. Okay. And then the fourth point in this one, in recognizing when you've changed your life, when you've come to that point and you recognize that, here's what you have to do with it. Help others. And so let's go to Mark 12. Mark 12. And okay. And sorry, 1 second. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And verse 28 says, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Okay, so first is you do you, right? First is you do you, you solve you, and then you bless others, right? So first you do you. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So in the process of addressing certainly these things inside of yourself, by changing and working within and then making those manifest changes in your own life, you will come to a place, and then your healing many times will also come in service to others and not to self. So a lot of people ask, you know, why am I not happy? Well, okay, here's another question you should be asking. How can you be happy when everyone else is miserable, right? So because we pick up on that. Everything about the human being is as a receptor, as a receiver. Everything about us, our skulls are tremendous at receiving information. Mm-hmm. We pick up radio waves, frequencies, all kinds of things. Our DNA is set up like a receiver. Everything about us is to receive in our body. How do we eat? It goes in our mouth. We receive. How do our ears work? They receive. They take information in. How do our eyes? Our eyes absorb. Everything about us is a receiver. We receive. So we pick up everything that's going on in and around us. That's on a 3D level. You start going up into higher levels, spiritual levels, that which is unseen. Our eyes only pick up 1% of what's actually going on in the spectrum. So there's so much happening that we do not actually see that's also going on. But you definitely feel it. You feel what's going on. You can feel the misery and the suffering of other people. You can feel what's going on. You know something's not right. You know, we know something's not right in the world. Something's going on. How often have people gotten a feeling, oh man, I wonder what's going on with Uncle Henry? You know, like just, it's just out of the blue. And then you find out, oh, Uncle Henry, he had an accident. You feel it. You feel things in your body. You feel things with your neighbors. You feel things. So we receive. And so when people ask, how am I not happy? The better question is, how can you be happy when everyone else is miserable? So when we are in a position to ask that question, the response should be, how can we work to be a blessing to others? So even when God blessed Abraham, he said, you know, I'm going to make you, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? So it's not just you absorbed as one big absorbing parasitical force. That's the old world parasitical system. That's what they do. They just suck it all up and harvest and hold and rot, right? For that which is of the Most High, it flows through to be a blessing unto others. So how can you be happy when everyone else is miserable? You have to be a blessing, and you have to let yourself be a blessing. And in that too, you will now find your fulfillment and your purpose in that. But this is also a little bit, we have to be mindful of the approach, right? So back in the days when, long time ago, ages ago, feels like a lifetime ago, I used to do some lifeguarding. And one thing about like when you lifeguard, if you're saving somebody that's drowning, if you approach them right from the front, they will drown you as well, because that instinct is so strong to want to stay alive, they will claw on top of you, they'll scratch you, they'll do all those things, they'll push you under, and then they'll drown as well. So if you're going to help somebody, if you're a lifeguard, you have to know how to approach them, and you have to, if your little tip, if you're out there and you ever have to save somebody, you have to approach them from behind, and so that, and then you pull them up onto the buoy, and then you tell them right away, hey, I'm a lifeguard, I'm here to help you relax. Right? And when you do that, what happens is that they, because if you, the instincts are so strong to survive that they will drown you if you approach them the wrong way. So you have to approach them the right way in order to be able to help them. So you can help them. There's a lot of people that want to help, but they end up helping in a way that they get destroyed, plus the other person still dies, right? So you want to help people with some wisdom. This is why you've also had all your life experiences leading up to now. You know there's a way to help people, and there's also a way to not help people. There's a way that you're when you try to help, you're actually pouring gasoline on the fire. So there's a lot of people out there that say, hey, let's help this cause, let's help that cause. They're waving the Ukrainian flag, they're waving this flag, but you're not helping anything. You're not actually solving anything. You're just pouring gasoline on a fire. They're drowning, you're drowning, because there's no wisdom in the approach, and nobody's even asking what's actually going on. If you're giving money, where's it going? If you're putting something into that, what's happening with it? Where's the accountability? Where's the follow-up? Where's the follow-through? So in this regard, how you approach. So yes, help others, but approach with wisdom. You remember, how many of you remember the old plane videos when you get on the plane and they show if there's an emergency and the mask dropped down, what do they tell you to do? First, put the mask on yourself, and then address everybody else that's around you, right? Because if you pass out while you're trying to do it for somebody else, they're going to die and you're going to die. Mm-hmm. So you need to first address you, but then approach others with some knowledge and with some understanding. So, but that being said, once you recognize that, you put yourself in a situation where you can make your life be in service to others. And this is the part, when you recognize when your life has changed, when you have done that, when you recognize that and you've solidified that, you've celebrated that, you're in a place of godly contentment, you have an abundance, you have a surplus, help others. Because if you want to multiply the blessing in your life, it is by pouring that out into the lives of other people. Pouring that out into the lives of others, because that is where you're going to find riches, purpose and fulfillment and the true manifestation of the reason for which you are here and you find yourself here in this life at such a time as this. So with that, we have closed this series. So let's pray and we'll close this one out. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, for just a quickening of how we can change our lives, and that we're not victims of circumstance. We're not victims of anyone, Father. We're not, but we have been given power from the Most High that flows through us to do and to change and to affect this life and this reality and all that goes on around us. So we ask that you would quicken us with this knowledge, with this understanding, and with these tools to action them so that we can not just only change our experience, but the experiences of all those around us as we continue and go forward from glory to glory, strength to strength, and your plan into manifestation. In Jesus' name, thank you.